You are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living, and you're listening to our radio show, Reality Sandwich, a palatable taste of the truth coming to you every Thursday at your noontime lunch hour. And today we have a great show planned. We are going to be talking about home birth, the business of birth, and all different aspects of pregnancy, and particularly birth and delivery. And I have with me today my co-host.
I'm Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist, now with my microphone turned on, thank you, and Healthful Living advocate with Healthful Living. And I'm really excited about the show today, Julie, because this film is opening in San Francisco tonight. It's called The Business of Being Born, and it's co-produced by Ricky Lake, the actress, and folks can get information about the film at thebusinessofbeingborn.com, I believe. And as you know, we've done a lot of shows in the past about birth and pregnancy and healthy babies. And I don't think there can be anything really more important than how we are as a culture and looking at how we bring babies into the world. And the love and the environment and the safety and the whole manner in which that's done. And this film brings a lot of that back to our attention about how we as a society are treating birth and just what our options are and how we feel about it.
Yes, we here at Healthful Living, while we don't have any kids and haven't been through home birth ourselves, we feel very strongly about this. Some people say that birth, the way that a culture experiences and views birth, it tells a lot about their culture in general. And I find that to be very true. And we'll kind of get into some of those comparisons as we go through the show today. But in Healthful Living, we really are about sustainable living, about things that are good for the individual as well as good for the collective, and just really trying to find the best way to maximize health and I suppose reduce trauma that people experience.
Reduce trauma and mostly empower people's personal choice, because certainly in our world today and in all walks of life, and we talk about this in all six areas of Healthful Living, that we have had so many of our choices essentially taken away from us by service providers, by people that are selling us things or providing services for us or doing things that we need because they tell us how it needs to be. We abdicate, and then that ends up being the default way of being, and we kind of lose the notion that we're at choice about what we really want in a particular experience. There's multiple examples of that, but here we're talking about, you know, how babies are born and how women and families engage in the process of babies being born. It's become very default, this particular paradigm of, you know, babies are born in hospitals, and that's just the way it is. And then what happens with a lot of our choices is that we get so much fear associated with the choice. And then we just end up doing what we were told to do, what we learned to do. And then what we really want kind of gets lost in that process in so many walks of life. And we talk about this week after week on the show in various subjects. So what we really are passionate about with Healthful Living is re-empowering people's personal choice and helping them to remember that they are completely at choice and at influence about what they want to create and invite in their lives. And it doesn't matter what that is. It doesn't matter whether it's giving babies. Doesn't matter whether it's the work that you do. Anything. There's nothing more powerful than your personal choice at creating the experiences you want for your own health and happiness. And this subject today is near and dear to our hearts because it's hopefully going to be in our lives in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the primary specialties in my nutrition practice that I do is working with moms, pregnancy nutrition, preconception preparation, nutrition for healthy moms, healthy babies, postpartum nutrition, all of that good stuff. And so I meet lots of moms that have had experiences in all different realms of birthing, from hospitals to home birth. And I've heard so many amazing stories, and I've met so many wonderful midwives and practitioners that I'm absolutely totally convinced before I even have my own that this is definitely my desired intention. And so we wanted to get it out there to more people, and it's very timely given that the movie or the film is being premiered tonight and is going to be available in many different locations for people at thebusinessofbeingborn.com. And today we have with us, we have a wonderful guest. Her name is Liz Worcester, and she is a licensed midwife and a family nurse practitioner. And she has been doing, she has a home birth practice here in San Francisco. So, Liz, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you.
So, it sounds to me like you've had a long history in the world of healthcare as well as the world of birthing and all of that. And I wanted to just get a sense from you on how did you get involved in midwifery?
Well, let's see. It started way back when I was still just starting in college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I came across a book called Spiritual Midwifery, which a lot of people know about now, but it was brand new then. Mm. And I was only 18 at the time, and it was full of birth stories and photos of moms giving birth on the farm and on the way to the farm, an old story of old San Francisco story, basically. But I just thought, that's a wonderful way to treat another woman when she's doing hard work. And it just seems so positive and supportive. And I thought, I want to do that. Mm. And that was here in California. I was going to school at UC Davis at the time. And so I started asking around about ways to become a midwife. And then, that was like 1978 or something, I found out that the only way to be doing home birth was to become a nurse midwife. There was no legal way to be doing direct entry midwifery, which is what I do at this point. Not until 1993 did we get our licensing law. Mm. So I started going to nursing school. And I spent many years doing nursing and as a nurse practitioner, but never really enjoyed the hospital kind of life and much less the birthing options for women in the hospital. It just didn't ring as true to me as those stories did. So I, when I got older and I realized that I still did want to be a midwife, but I didn't want to be in a hospital, I explored the out of hospital options and training options. And there is a direct entry style, which means a person doesn't have to be a nurse first, even though I happened to be a nurse at that time. But, and it's still a 3-year training and, with the same qualifications as a nurse midwife, but all the training is done out of hospital. I apprentice with, home birth midwives or birth center midwives.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so you've seen this film, The Business of Being Born.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was your general reaction to it?
Wow. Let's see. I cried and I laughed and I was really informed about things that I actually hadn't heard before. Cause I do a lot of reading and I've seen a lot of birth films, and there's some special things in here that I think are unique. I do think it speaks to what is going on, and I like the fact that it didn't say hospitals are bad and home birth is the only way or anything like that. It was very good at saying there's choice. You can explore the hospital and you can have a good birth in a hospital, but look into it. Make sure that you really evaluate what's going on and what. Is that really right for you? Mm-hmm. And check into home birth, because that's a very safe option too. There's a lot of misconceptions about the safety of home birth.
Yes.
A lot of bad information that's inaccurate, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Martin made a good point earlier that our purpose of our conversation is for women to have more choices, so they have more information, because 90% of what you hear out there is all of the mainstream stuff with medical birth. And again, there's really important reasons for that. And we're not saying anything that to take away from that system. It works really well at certain times, but it also doesn't work so well at other times and is not so necessary or helpful. So we just wanted to share some of the other information that's out there for people that just have never heard, like you said, all the misconceptions and we'll get into some of those today.
Well, certainly there's been some cause for caution, because there's been some alarming statistics that the rates of cesarean section in this country have gone just up and up and up over the past number of years. There was a headline article in Mothering Magazine just a few months about that.
Yeah, there's been a 40% increase just in the last 10 years. And the average in the United States, you may have a better statistic, but it's around 29%. In some hospitals, it's even more than that. And in fact, it's definitely alarming. The just this one statistic alone.
Have you noticed a shift? You've been around birth for a number of years. Have you noticed this trend also that we're speaking of?
Oh, definitely. It. Let me see. How can I speak to that? It's it's complicated. You know, there's many ingredients to why that has developed. But I guess one thing I kind of want to go back to is the individual care. And I think what's so nice about home birth is that we can offer individual care to that particular woman. And I think what happens in an institutional kind of care for birth is that women cannot be treated as individuals nearly as much. Mm. I know there's efforts made to do that, but not nearly as much as when you have a home birth relationship, because we do all the prenatal care. They're about an hour-long visit. We get to know this woman. We know all the holistic parts about her. And usually in her home, some midwives have offices, and you'll see them in the office, but most of us do it right in the mom's home. And we do it along the same schedule as any other provider would in terms of seeing them the same frequency. But then when they know that we're going to be at their labor, we know that even if we transfer from home, which we do, you know, there's no doubt that not all home births stay at home. But and then when we do transfer, our intervention rate, because we're there to help educate the mom and minimize them, our intervention rates are tremendously low. Our home birth midwives, and midwives in general, have a C-section rate of about 5 to 8% or something like that. It's very low, and not that doesn't mean we're performing those, but the clients that we work with, they would go on to have a C-section maybe that amount of time.
Sure.
So it's, and also the number of other interventions like epidurals and forceps and different interventions too are minimized completely by having the midwifery model used throughout your care.
Sure.
So I think, you know, maybe it's that's one feature that the C-section's gone out, because the midwifery model isn't very well readily available to many women.
Right. I want to make one little comment here about the, just to be fair for the statistics, the people that do give home births tend to be in the lower risk category, whereas if you're in a hospital, all the high risk people go to the hospital. So there is some skewing a little bit. But there was an interesting statistic here that even in hospitals that have a nurse midwifery program, it's still 13% lower cesarean rate than the average. So just so people that are out there listening, we understand that you're dealing with a little bit of a different population, but the point still makes sense.
Well, I respect that, but there's even been a wonderful study that was done in 2000 that came out in 2005 that showed that you compare healthy, low-risk women in the hospital to healthy, low-risk women doing home birth. So you are comparing the same groups.
Great.
It's not, you know, different groups. And that the intervention rate, that was what I was saying before. So
wonderful.
Yeah. And these were all midwives that are what called certified professional midwives. They're direct entry. They're not nurse midwives. And so nurse midwifery is a fantastic thing that we have in this country. There's also a lot of misunderstandings thinking that that's a better profession than the CPM or the other direct entry, and that somehow they're a better choice. So I just kind of want to clarify on that as well, that they're quite equal. They're quite different. The nurse midwives have tended to focus on the hospitals and birth centers, and the direct entry midwives have tended to focus on the home birth.
So. Sure. That was helpful. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good study that came out, is I think the one that you're describing. Yeah, it's out of the UK?
It was in America and Canada. But it was published in the British Medical Journal, right?
Okay.
But it was 5,000 births that were, a little over that were submitted to the statistics for the entire year of 2000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Even better than I thought. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about home births. Well, maybe we can go into that a little bit more, actually. It's just, walk somebody through, you were doing so when I interrupted, kind of, how the experience is different. You said there's more longer visits for prenatal care. There are very personalized service, because that same person is going to be delivering your baby as well. What are some of the other advantages or differences?
There's Well, those are some of the main ones. But also the thing about informed choice, that's another thing, informed decision making, which I know medical practitioners are trying to do as much as they can. But we can spend more time. What that is about is that if you're going through the pregnancy and different times there are certain tests that are offered, I will take the time to explain, oh, now is the time when genetic testing is often offered between these times because of this. These are the tests that are offered. There's some benefits to it, and this is what the benefits are. There's some risks, and let's talk about it. And it's a conversation where you get to really find out, is this something this woman really wants to do or not, rather than just assuming that she's going to want to do all those tests and just say, here's the form and off you go. And I think some people do that, not everybody, but a lot of women that I've spoken to who've worked, with hospital-based practices, they feel a little rushed through things and sort of intimidated, and not in any intentional way, but it's a quick process. And so it's sometimes hard to stop and really get into an in-depth conversation about certain things. And there's the implication that if you don't do them, then maybe you're not being responsible or something like that. Right. So the nice thing about home birth is that we trust this mom can do this, and that she is a wise person, and we're orienting her and her partner to being parents and making these decisions. They're going to be deciding on what they want to do with their child's education and other health issues for their child in the future and all of that. And we like to start to stimulate that empowerment right from the beginning.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, women have been having babies for a fairly long time.
This is true.
And, I have to always, I kind of always hold my breath when I speak, because I'm the guy talking on the pregnancy subject here. But it's become so curious to me that it seems that pregnancy and that birth is viewed as a medical procedure. And I know I was born in a hospital, and just even growing up, whenever I would see the thing and the movies and the stuff, and it was always like, how the hospital has become the default in America, and giving birth, it seems like it's a big, a medical thing, and you see the lights flashing and people beeping and people screaming and all this stuff. And I've just always wondered, is that become that way because we have the ability to bring in this increased level of medical care and concern and safety, or is it out of fear, or what? I guess I'm just baffled in my mind how it's become so default assumed that a hospital is necessary for birth. When I imagine my great grandparents, I don't think were born in a hospital, and I know that midwives historically, going back hundreds and hundreds of years throughout cultures around the world, were the ones who created this relationship with a mom and gave birth and the family. And there's all this stuff that when I talk like this, it feels really warm and wonderful and cozy. That it's like, how did it all change?
Well, there is an element of, let's say, caution about birth. I mean, because some babies don't tolerate birth very well, and moms can bleed extra amount after the birth. And, there's definitely a humbleness about being a midwife and a humility about the job, because there's some things that are kind of on the edge for sure. And that's why I completely understand how when someone's working in a hospital and that's all they see, that they think home birth would be just nuts, but how we make it safer at home is a couple of ways. And is we don't use any drugs during labor at all. We have Pitocin for postpartum only after the birth if the mom is bleeding a bit extra. And we also carry oxygen if the baby needs that. So those are the two main things, is the mom might be bleeding a bit extra and the baby might have trouble breathing. Those are the two main sort of scary things for everybody. But we're trained in that. We're trained professionals in that. We do neonatal resuscitation training every couple of years. We know how to do IVs. We know how to watch for these things. And we also know that we transport if we do need that. And so hospitals are an important link for sure. So this is a tricky area, because yes, women give birth, and we do understand that. And most of the time it's very straightforward. And I remember there's somebody that quotes that in Ricky's movie about, birth is 98%. to sort of ordinary and 2% terror or something like that. And I wouldn't put it quite that extreme, but yeah, there are things that you want to watch for. But we're trained to watch a lot of that stuff developing during the labor. If it something starts to sort of peak up, the blood pressure is starting to go up, or the baby's heartbeat isn't just, you know, nice and regular like we'd like, or certain signs start to show. Mm. It's not like emergencies happen, you know, really quickly right away. Usually, you know, you see it starting to develop and you start to make little interventions to either head it off or slow it down, and then we would do a transport. But an emergency transport from home is so rare. I mean, I haven't been doing it that long. I've only done one out of a couple hundred births. But most midwives who've done hundreds and hundreds of births only do it maybe four times out of, you know, 500 births or something like that. So it's so rare to use an ambulance and have it be this emergency thing, which is what we think most births are, are walking the edge of. So most of our transports are just for a long labor, and we all go in our car, and, you know, that's pretty straightforward. So the imagery of birth being this highly dangerous thing partly comes from our love of media and the drama that can potentially be there that we like to play out over and over again. And so many images of births on the TV and the movies are so inaccurate. It's really kind of difficult to watch those. But so, yeah, we have to respect that, yes, we are playing with an experience here that is not, or working with an experience that is to be respected.
Well, it sounds like it's an honoring of the experience. It's being a process, right? Whenever I speak with midwives or I hear about this, it's like, you know, you're allowing the woman to be in this process of birth, whatever that takes and whatever time that takes, right? Because it is a process. And versus there being, you know, a strict timeline. You know, this is not happening fast enough. This needs to go quicker. And that urgency gets put into play. Often inadvertently.
Yeah, and I understand that because, again, hospitals have so much, only so much many beds, and there's limits that have to be put on certain things because it's an institution, and I respect that. So, therefore, it's nice to, why not get as many births out of the hospital as you can, because it's better to let a labor unfold in its own way. Because once you start putting strict, you know, barriers on it or time limits, it increases the anxiety of the mother. It's harder for her to labor. She's in this one room with only these certain tools and these certain people with a lot of shift changes. It's harder to have a normal birth in a hospital. So it's harder for people who work in a hospital to see a normal birth.
Well, yeah, that's a really good point. And in the movie, actually, one of the doctors says, oh, I always think that midwives do a better job at the normal deliveries than we do. For a normal, low-risk woman, it's overkill going to a doctor. It's almost too much. The doctor is not really excited about things that are when they're normal. Right. And this was by a doctor in New York City. And then there's another one that says from Michael Oden, who's very...
Michel Odant. Yeah.
Michel.
Frenchman.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. I knew he was a man. Okay, thank you for that. He says that... most obstetricians have no idea what birth can be like, and that makes a lot of sense. If their paradigm and their experience is almost always one way, when would they ever experience? It's not like they go attend home births for their own educational purposes.
Well, that's the thing, too. I would love to invite any obstetrician who'd love to come to a home birth to contact me, because I feel that there's a lot of education that gets passed down through medical school that somehow home birth is not safe, and these doctors themselves have never really witnessed it. There's going to be stories that they hear, and some of them are probably pretty awful, and that's how they base their opinion. But unless you've come to actually see how this plays out and how we work, we're very professional about it, then it's hard to have a very powerful voice. And yet, see, we do go to the hospital as home birth midwives. We do make transfers there, and we have worked as doulas, many of us, and so we know what their side is like and totally understand they're working in a difficult environment. So, you know, if any woman's ever had their doctor say, oh, don't do a home birth, it's not safe, and that doctor has never had that experience, then I think the woman needs to get another opinion.
Very good point. For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to KPOO San Francisco, 89.5 FM. I'm Julie Matthews here with Martin Matthews, and we're here with Liz Worcester, and we are talking about the experience of birth and giving birth and the movie called The Business of Being Born. And we will be right back after this small musical. We are back. You are listening to KPOO. I am Julie Matthews, here with Martin Matthews and Liz Worcester, and we are talking about The Business of Being Born, and the film that's coming out, as well as all sorts of information about hospital births versus home births and things that you may not have heard before. Liz is a home birth midwife, or she's a licensed midwife and does home births. And we were just talking all about, you know, various aspects of the options that women have out there. And I want to talk a little bit, because one of the big things that always comes up is cesarean section. So I thought I would just, for those people that aren't aware, and we know lots of people, I mean, I myself have three close friends or family members that have had experience where in the hospital, actually two of the three actually had the C-section. The third one didn't, but lots of, you know, kind of traumatic intervention going on. And, you know, things were going along, and then they ended up with a C-section. And later, you know, felt a little bit disempowered because looking back at it later, maybe they weren't in quite the emergency yet that the hospital seemed to think that they were in, and seemed to be, you know, a little upset that that choice was taken away. And interestingly, in a survey done in 1999, 82% of physicians said that they performed a C-section to avoid a negligence claim. And that, to me, I mean, I can understand doctors are humans too, and they're afraid, and they're stuck by certain rules that the medical industry sets up and certain things that says, okay, you need to do X procedure to avoid X problem. But there aren't rules set up that say, if you don't do a C-section because it's, you know, best for the mom, you know, and then, you know, there's no protection. There's only protection sometimes in certain ways. So they sort of, everything is, I don't know how to explain, sort of all the dominoes are set up so that they sort of almost don't have a choice in a way unless they're willing to risk certain lawsuits because of the way that the medical industry has set up what risk is and what procedures are acceptable in those particular situations. So they're almost stuck as well. And so it's the system really that's more broken than it is, you know, the particular individuals. They're just kind of going, you know, in the system, doing their best in the system.
Yeah, I would say that too, because, and it's broad. It's even beyond just that individual situation, because why is someone suing? Because they need money to help take care of maybe a child that is had birth damage or something like that. And because we have a healthcare system that doesn't guarantee that everybody is covered by insurance, then people have to look for it somewhere. And I think that's where a lot of the problem comes in as well. So because this C-section rate isn't that high in other countries that have national healthcare, and so our C-section rate, yeah, is around 30% or so, maybe higher in other communities. The Bay Area isn't too terribly bad on that. But really, the World Health Organization kind of says around 15% is really what the norm should be. So we're twice what it should be. That means that half of the C-sections that are being done are not necessary. And certainly, C-section is a life-saving procedure. We're very glad it's there. And I know sometimes it's a really tough call as to whether a C-section is a good idea for the doctor, too. Of course, they want to do the best thing for the mom and the baby. And I don't think they're all doing it because they want to go to golf quicker at But it's just that there's, all sorts of other intervening things. Women have maybe not researched their options as well. Doctors are under certain pressures. We don't have a health system that covers all people. And we're using more interventions than before. Women are getting epidurals like never before. This is so amazing how in just 20 years the epidural things have gone just crazy, like almost everybody's getting one, and that sets you up for a lot of problems.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, that's one reason we transfer from home sometimes, is a mama does need that. But I think that a woman should really think carefully before she just assumes she's going to get one, because a normal birth often just unfolds fine without it. And when you're well supported and you're not afraid, then you will have a healthy labor that you can handle, and you don't need medication. Because once you get anesthesia, which is what it is, it numbs you from the waist down, you can't really move your legs well, you're stuck in the bed, you have to have a urinary catheter, you have to have an IV, you have to have 24/7 monitoring of your baby, which isn't normally necessary unless you do have all these interventions. Oftentimes you're going to need some Pitocin maybe to speed up the labor because maybe the epidural slowed it down. It just plugs you into a ton of different machines. You're stuck in the bed. You've completely turned it over and you're not part of it anymore. And babies sometimes get in funny positions and can't get out because the pelvic floor is kind of relaxed and it doesn't have a fulcrum to push against to get into better position. And so the C-section rate may be somewhat higher because of that, but it's some of the studies have said that it hasn't really impacted that much, but the use of forceps and vacuum can go up for it. And I think just the use of the fact that you're using, epidural that often leads to Pitocin, the Pitocin can increase your chance of a C-section too because it can stress the baby out. It's quite different than the oxytocin is what we naturally have in our body, which allows the endorphins to flow as well and give you that relaxation in between and all the rest of it. But that doesn't happen with Pitocin. It gives a different style of contraction, which is quite more overwhelming for a woman and for a baby too.
So why the increase in the epidural use over the years? Has birth gotten more painful?
I don't think so, but you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know exactly either, but I think it's certainly word of mouth. Some women have had a good experience with it, and they just say that's what, you just walk right in and get that without experiencing birth. Maybe there's a less respect for the fact that the birth is a rite of passage. It's a process that both baby and mom are very conscious of, and it's a bonding part time and very important to a woman's mental health in many ways to have a natural childbirth and to not just assume that you can't do it. I think also it's interesting because if you go see The Business of Being Born, it talks about the twilight sleep, which some, you know, of our relatives have done in different generations. And that was touted as to be this wonderful way, was brought over here to the United States from, I think it was Germany, where it was developed by an upper society woman who said, oh, we don't have to go through childbirth pain anymore. Let's do this. And it turned out to be an absolute nightmare, although the women didn't know it because they had scopolamine that made them forget it. So they had no memory of what they'd been through. But if you see this film, you'll see what they go through. And that's when I cried during the film. It's quite frightening to see what they went through. So there was, and then a lot of women just took that without knowing it.
Right.
And so I'm not saying that epidural is the equivalent of that, but I think it's a similar idea that the lore gets passed down through that we don't have to go through this pain if we don't want to. Just plug into something else and just have a baby because that's what
right.
it came for.
It's about the end result of the baby. Yeah.
But there's a lot more to it than that. And plus, the nice thing is that natural childbirth isn't just something that is for people who, I don't know, somehow want to have some spiritual experience, and people can just think that, oh, you're just risking your baby for some kind of elusive enlightenment or something. It's really not that. It's actually the safest way for your baby to be born too, because it's not encountering all those medications, which do have their risks for sure.
Absolutely. A little bit more data here. Among the 33 industrialized nations, the United States is tied with Hungary, Malta, Poland, and Slovakia with a death rate of nearly 5 per 1,000 babies, according to a report in 2006. This is the second worst newborn death rate in the developed world. And then 5 countries with the lowest infant mortality rates, according to the March of Dimes, are Japan, Singapore, Sweden, Finland, and Norway. And midwives are used in those countries as the main source of care in 70% of the birthing situations. So, like you said, that it's perceived as safer, but actually not safer.
Yeah, I think that's what American women need to understand, and that we've been, I don't know, somehow all brought up with, we have the, quote, best health care in the world kind of a thing, and I don't know who started that, but we have excellent health care, there's no doubt about it, but birthing is a really different experience than going in for a surgery or, you know, having a serious medical problem. So I think that it's I want to mention, too, about reimbursement, because I think a lot of women think that, oh, home birth is super expensive and my insurance won't pay for that. Well, right. I get reimbursed by insurance all the time. So, and our fees for home birth are run around $3,000, $4,000 for everything. That's everything, all the prenatal care, the labor, the birth, all the postpartum.
Wow.
And that almost always gets reimbursed for a PPO. If someone has an HMO, it's not in their plans yet.
Right.
And this is something else that families need to really push for and convince these HMOs that home birth is a very safe option and to have it part of their package. And we're saving hospitals a lot of money
absolutely
by doing it this way. And even, like I said before, like even if we do transfer and it is a hospital birth, they're still doing fewer interventions on that mom than they would be. And her satisfaction rate is higher. They say 97% of women who have home births are highly satisfied with the care that they get. That we're really serving not just that individual woman, but sort of the bigger picture as well.
Absolutely. There's a statistic that says that it's actually a nurse midwife in New Hampshire that says that her state charges $13,000 for a normal vaginal birth in the hospital, where, like you said, she charges $4,000 for everything. And that if it ends up in a cesarean, it could be $35,000. So there's a couple things. One is you have to look a little bit, I hate to say, at the motivation of why some people might jump to cesarean. There is money to be made. But even if that's not the case, look at how much money can be saved if somebody does a home birth, you know, and the insurance company reimbursed $4,000 versus $13,000, or the potential of the extra $35,000, seems to make a lot of sense. We have Kaiser, and I plan to just pay out of pocket, you know, $4,000 for me to be healthy, my baby to be healthy, and to try to have the best possible experience possible, and to know that Kaiser's there if I need to go to the hospital. $4,000, I mean, it's a lot of money, certainly, and some people can't afford it, but to me, I don't know, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's really worth it.
Well, we want to make this more affordable to everybody, too. In fact, that's one of the recipients of the money from tonight's, or today, actually, there's a 3 o'clock showing as well as a 7 o'clock showing. It's a fundraising event that we're, one of the groups that we're giving the money to is called the Birth Bank. It's a new fund for women that can't afford a home birth, and so we can give out grants and that kind of a
wonderful
thing. The other thing is that we, as licensed midwives, are legally allowed to do Medi-Cal births, but there's a political problem in our state that we, in order to get the Medi-Cal reimbursement, we have to have both a supervising physician and malpractice insurance, but nobody will offer us those. We've had our license for, 14, almost 15 years now, but in our license law, it's required that we all have supervising physicians, but none of the physicians will do that, even though they required us to put that in our law. So that's a wonderful catch-22 that we've been set up with here. We're in the process of providing annual statistics to the Medical Board of California so they can see the safety of what we're doing, even though we don't have supervising physicians. We do have backup situations that we arrange all moms with.
Right.
So for sure, if there's a medical need, we have everyone connected. And so it's a smooth transition. But even for 15 years, we've not had any official backup physicians, and we're doing really well still. So hopefully when we show them in a statistical form that that's true, that they'll start to realize, okay, we're requiring you to get something that's not possible to do and not needed. Let's change that.
Right.
And then it'll be more accessible to more women, too.
Wonderful. And you just reminded me that there are actually tickets available still for the 3 o'clock show.
I think
7 o'clock is sold out, but there are for the 3 o'clock. So I'm glad you brought that up. And it's the baby-friendly showing, so you can bring your baby. And
the film is opening at the Roxy Cinema.
It's at the Roxy, so you can call them.
16th. Street in the Mission.
Between Valencia,
to get some more information.
Yeah. And it'll be there all week, too. Today is the fundraising day.
Okay.
And the premiere and everything. But it'll be there, I think, until the 25th or
something. Oh, great.
Like that.
Great.
So
wonderful.
Go,
so that'll give people a lot of opportunity to go. If you are pregnant and you are curious of your options, it's a great movie to go to. And, you know, I've heard lots of moms that have told me stories that they change from their doctor to a midwife, sometimes even, you know, later in the process. So it's I'm not a midwife, but my suspicion would be it's probably never too late to make a different option on how you want to deliver your baby. Would you consider that?
Oh, yeah. I recently had a mom change about a month before her due date or so. And that's fine to do as long as that's really what the mom wants and she's, you know, healthy. And I look at her, the medical records from her previous provider, and we talk it all through and make sure that we have, you know, good communication. That's really important, that we can be honest with each other. And her partner's on board with the whole thing. Everyone has to really feel like this is the right thing for them. And the safest place for them to be is feeling at home.
Right.
And then I think we work very well together.
Yeah. I think that that's a really good point for anybody listening, because I know quite a few midwives. And one of the things that I think they're great at is just educating new soon-to-be parents of what the risks really are and getting dad or mom up to speed on that, like we said earlier, that the risks of an emergency problem are really low and the safety rate of a home birth is very high. And, you know, if you're not sure what you want to do, my understanding, and you can tell me more, is you can go have an appointment with a midwife or several midwives and check it out and see if you feel comfortable and see what their answers are. And again, going back to Martin's comment earlier, but this will help you with an informed choice of what you want to do. You don't have to have decided already that you want a midwife in order to go talk to one.
That's
and see
right.
what they have to say.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, you know, I'll talk to women on the phone for a while. I'll meet with them in person at no charge. And every second Saturday of the month at Natural Resources over on Valencia Street, we have from 4 to 6, it's a Meet the Midwife session where you can come and meet some of the midwives from the Home Birth Collective. And we sit there for 2 hours chatting in a room full of parents who are just, you know, curious about the option. Anyone, you know, and that maybe that will help them make their decision to have a hospital birth that much stronger. Mm-hmm. And that's great. You know, whatever people choose, as long as they feel like they've checked out their choices and what resonates best for them is what's important. Them and that and their baby, what they think is best for their baby.
Right.
So,
and I've heard some wonderful examples and explanations from midwives of hospital births and why hospital births are important or when to use them. And so I don't find a lot of anybody bashing anybody else about choices, but just getting some good informed information.
Well, clearly there's a role for everything and everybody in this process here. And certainly a strong need for education and for empowering women to know, you know, what's going on with all of this, especially when we look at the statistics, the 30% cesarean rate in the U.S. being double that of the rest of the world, and that there isn't anything to show for it, in that there isn't any increased medical benefit or outcome from that additional 15%. So if we had found that now that we're doing all these, you know, we've procedurized birth and that we're doing this, that we're now making, you know, a lower death rate or it's been safer for people, but we don't have any of that outcome. We have none of that. So
in fact,
here
it's the opposite.
In fact, it's the opposite. We haven't even gotten into this bigger, broader subject of you know, the impact on the baby and the psychological components of mom and baby and the birth experience, all that stuff, and the variances there between, you know, home birth, hospital birth, procedures, all these different things. There's all kinds of factors involved there. So clearly there's a reason to pause and reason to give this experience of birth a lot of personal thought. It's my opinion that women should not be in any fear associated with their choices around giving birth, or hopefully not in any fear in the process of giving birth. I mean, that's my wish. Hmm. It's my wish for my wife. It's my wish for any women and friends or anybody out there.
And for the babies.
And for the babies.
We love the babies.
Absolutely. We were speaking earlier, babies coming into an already extremely anxious world, I would think we want as little anxiety associated with their birth as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my theory about the epidural thing is that, you know, again, we were speaking earlier about the sensationalism of movies and films and the perception of pain associated. So it just becomes a kind of a default choice that gets made by default. Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage anyone to just really, you know, think about what they want and come from their own personal desire.
Mm-hmm. In our last couple minutes, we were talking at the break, we were talking about some of the procedural differences with hospital versus home birth. Did we finish with that, or is there anything else you wanted to add, kind of inform moms, anything else before we go?
Well, I guess I would love to just sort of give a sense that it's so different, a labor at home, than it is in the hospital. Mm. And just the feel, the energy, the feel of it all is very calm and quiet and supportive. And And it's really protecting that woman's space. I mean, I think it's so hard to describe the difference. Mm-hmm. I guess the best thing is for people to see the difference, but and to feel the difference. Really, I don't know if a particular movie will show that as well either, because to see an entire labor in a movie is not that interesting,
right,
for most people. So in most birth movies, you don't see the whole labor. Mm-hmm. You see snippets of it, and then you see the birth.
Right.
You know, and yet to actually watch a real normal labor unfold with a woman feeling safe and loved and supported is just one of the most beautiful things. And so it's hard to describe it. And I've seen some of those in a hospital, no doubt. Most of that happens only when the mom stays home as long as possible and doesn't spend too much time there, because, it, like I say, it's hard to have, because a lot of first-time labors can take a day or more. And you don't really want to be in a hospital that long. And they'd probably have happier if you weren't there that long either. So I guess how I could say is just talk to people when you're pregnant, especially talk to people with positive stories. You're not putting your head in the sand to avoid the negative stories, because we've all know that they're there, but just listen to a lot of positive stories, because our culture is very steeped in fear around birth. I think also because we feel like we're a culture that can overcome anything. We can make a machine to fix everything, or to do everything, or to a pill to fix everything, you know, and there's some beauty in that yes, we don't have to suffer a lot of different things, but childbirth doesn't have to be suffering. It's painful. And some it wouldn't even say that. Some women would say, I never really felt pain. It was intense and all of that. But yeah, there's pain for sure for many women. But it doesn't have to be full of suffering. You're not a victim. You're not a weak being that can't do this. And so you're going to be challenged for sure to points that you may never have been to. But that doesn't mean you can't do it. Mm-hmm. It's about digging deeper and getting through and realizing what you can do. And that there is also no shame in transferring to a hospital, and there's no shame in a C-section. Mm-hmm. But it really is about your voice and just being sure that what you do choose to let happen to you is you really felt like is right for you, because there is time during a labor to make decisions like that. You don't have to feel like, I had no choice because I had all these drugs or whatever. You're not that completely out of it, and everyone should give you space to make a decision in a sober moment. You know, you don't have to make it during a contraction. You don't have to make it when you're feeling upset. You need, and privacy too. You can ask for privacy with your family and have the medical folks step out for a moment so you can really talk it through and make sure that is exactly what you want. And so you're not regretting things afterwards.
Right.
There's an awful lot of sadness and grief and postpartum depression and birth trauma from experiences that women really felt like they took on without fully being a part of it.
Right. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation today. We've been speaking with Liz Worcester, and it's LISWORCESTER. And do you have a way people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, I have a website, and that's jadelotusmidwifery.com. And I'm also part of a home birth collective that's bayareahomebirth.org.
Great. Great. And we have been talking today about The Business of Being Born, a film that was executive produced by Ricky Lake and directed by Abby Epstein. And it is playing at the Roxy tonight, today and tonight, as well as all week. So we hope you will check that out. That's at thebusinessofbeingborn.com for more information. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living. I'm here with my host, Martin Matthews, a certified medical and clinical hypnotherapist. And we are with healthfulliving.org, where you can find out more information about us. And you are listening to KPOO San Francisco. You can get this show and any past shows at realitysandwichradio.com. Thanks for listening.